What child is this? Indeed, the wonder of looking once again this year into that face of that child, looking at those rosy red cheeks and thinking about what all was going on, not only at that moment in that time, but yet what was going to go on in the next 30 years of that child's life. And again, as we were reminded this morning, here we are some 2,000 years later, and this little child is still making a difference in our lives. What wonder, what joy. My sermon title this morning is Jesus. There is something about that name. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I'm going to be in chapter 1. Of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, and it's also going to be on the screen. Matthew, chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Jesus, there is something about that name. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for giving us a desire to come here and spend some time looking into your living word. I ask you to reach down to all of our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and help each of us to pause in the midst of our lives. To set aside the stuff that inevitably gets us all stirred up and help us to simply, just in this moment, in these few minutes, help us to be still and to listen to your voice. Lord, I believe each of us has something that we can gain, something that we need to be reminded of as we ponder your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we ask these things. And amen. So here Matthew is sharing with us the story of the birth of Jesus, my Savior. So during the engagement period, and as you can tell if you read the text, there's more to this engagement period than what we think of as an engagement today. It was a legal binding contract, at least in the mind of those in first century Israel. So when they were engaged or betrothed, that in and of itself was also equated to the marriage. They had made a decision. They were going to be married. They were going to spend the rest of their life together. But before they had become intimate, Mary becomes pregnant. Now Joseph is a just man. Matthew here is trying to say he's a good man. He's a righteous man. He's wanting to do the right thing. So instead of making a big deal about it, he goes and seeks, he's pondering as to how he can handle this in a quiet manner without making too much of it in the town. So as Joseph is pondering these plans, an angel of God comes and begins to speak to him in a dream, saying, Son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this happened, as Matthew tells us, as a fulfillment of what God had declared some 700 years before. The prophet Isaiah spoke of that. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, a name that means God with us. So when Joseph came to himself, he simply followed as he sensed God was directing him. And she gave birth to a son, and they named him Jesus. Now imagine many of you, if you watch movies, if you watch television, if you read books, some point in your life sometimes you have some interest in understanding or knowing the backstory of a particular character. That's what Matthew is doing. You see, we believe Matthew wrote what he wrote here that we're reading here this morning, some 60 years after the birth of Jesus. And those people that are hearing this or reading this weren't there. They were not, no one had firsthand knowledge, truly, except for Joseph. So Matthew is helping us peer in as to what truly happened during this time. And imagine just for a moment if you were Joseph or Mary. Think about what was happening and how they felt like life was going in the right direction. They'd made plans to be married, and all of a sudden something happens unexpectedly. Imagine what wonder filled what wonders might be going through your mind, even as you were instructed from the angel as to what was happening and what was going to happen. Imagine again just for a moment what may have been going through your mind. How do you explain this to others as to what was going on? How can you raise the child, this miraculous child that the Bible had been speaking of for so many years? All of the expectations that people were having upon this child now that Joseph had come to know who it was. Matthew leaves us with her own thoughts on the matter. We don't hear Joseph's musings. But I do know this, Joseph was no superhuman. He was not deity. He was simply a human being like you and I, who had a desire, as Matthew describes to us, to live a good, honorable life. And he desired to honor God with his life. You and I may never be asked to do anything as miraculous as Joseph did as far as raising a child and accepting something so hard to grasp. But I believe God is asking each of us, those of us who have proclaimed the name of Jesus, to also take part on a day-to-day basis. And I think sometimes we need to do just like Joseph had to do at that time. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't try to understand it all. But simply just take it one step at a time. He was told to call him Jesus. And Joseph did as he was told. He called him Jesus. Again, surely Joseph didn't have it all figured out. There was many things about God and about the Messiah and about the Christ, about this baby boy that he didn't understand. He had lives just like you and I do. He had bills to pay. He had family to support. He had things going on. He didn't understand it all, but he simply knew what he needed to do in the next step. He called him Jesus. Did you know that the name Jesus has a meaning? A meaning that was there way before the angel uttered it some 2,000 years ago. A name that's used in Scripture elsewhere as Joshua. It means God saves. Can you see that, that in the angel telling him what he was going to call him, he was also telling him something about who he was going to be? He is going to be the Savior. He was named God Saves. Right there in the quiet of the evening, Joseph was given the purpose. There is hope for the future. A Savior is coming. But God Saves is not the only name that Jesus was given right there in those few verses that we just read that Matthew gave us. And I want to look at three other names that were given to Jesus in the midst of these eight verses. These three names that I want to pull out, although there are many more in Scripture. But these three in particular I want to speak about this morning is Son of God, Son of David, Christ, and Emmanuel. And the first name calling him son of David. We see in 2 Samuel 7:13 in reference to a son of David, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. What's in a name? Names are important. A book that I've enjoyed and I've read over more than once, titled How to Win Friends and Influence People, written by Dale Carnegie. He says, concerning names, he says, a person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language. We like to hear our names. I can say there is one point in my life as I was reading this and thinking about this that it's not true every time. I was when I was in boot camp some 35 years ago, there for some reason, I got 40 people, even though all of us are wearing the same uniform, all of us have the same haircuts, of those 40 people, there's really only one other guy that looked a lot like me. We're about the same size. We both wore glasses. I'm going to tell you, I enjoyed it. I couldn't count how many times that I had a drill instructor in my face screaming and hollering at me. And as he was screaming and hollering, he was screaming and hollering at the other guy's name. And I just thought, wow. As he goes back and he thinks about what happened, he's thinking about that other guy. But isn't it, be honest with yourself. Don't we like to hear our name? What if you meet somebody who has your name? Do you feel a sense of kinship? You know, you sort of want to like that person just because they have your name. You think there's something important about them. You ever notice how you can often hear your name spoken in the midst of a bunch of noise? I work at a chemical plant, and I have our communication radio. We're not listening to music, but the communication radio that I'm supposed to be paying attention to all day long, where I get focused in my work, a lot of times I don't hear what's going on. They're chattering back and forth about something that I have nothing to do with, so I'm not really paying attention, but yet I'm still hearing it. And I find it very interesting that anytime someone mentions my name, most times anyway, not every time, right, Dan? But most times when someone mentions my name, it catches my attention. Names are important. Names can get you places. It can also keep you out of places. If your family name is important, you might get a better job. You might get an opportunity to sit in a special place in a restaurant. You might avoid a speeding ticket. Get a quicker response when you have a need. But something of interest that we should keep in mind here concerning names, the last names were not regularly used in the first century Israel. So if I had had a son and if I had named him Tom, he would have been known by Tom. But if we happened to live in a town where there was more than one Tom, then if they were referring to my son Tom, they would say, Tom, son of Rick. So here again we see son of David, and Matthew here is letting us know that Joseph is a son of David. And by legal rights now, Jesus is going to be a son of David. Now, this was not a reference actually to Joseph's father, but it's going back even further. It's in a sense, in the same way that we think of last names, son of David is being used in the way that we use last names now. He's part of the family of David, and it goes back many years. Some 1,000 years to a particular king whose name was David. He was a very special king. He was a very important king, a king who did many things for the nation of Israel at that time. And at one point, God, through a prophet, promised David that he one day was going to have an eternal kingdom, and it was going to come through one of his sons. And this is where one of the references we see in the scriptures, 2 Samuel 7:13, speaking of that son of David that was to come and build a house for my name and establish the throne of his kingdom forever. See, this son of David that eventually was going to come was going to establish an eternal kingdom. So when we speak of Jesus being the son of David, this makes it clear that he is in the right lineage to receive this official role of being an eternal king. Another word that the Jews had begun to call this son of David, who they expected to come at some point. This son of David they were looking for, another name for the use for him was Christ. And we see here Matthew referring to Jesus Christ. I sometimes snicker, I wonder if some people, especially if you don't know your scripture and if you've never been raised in church, we might think of Christ as being his last name. But that is not isn't really a name, it's a title. Which means anointed one. Or you and I today, we're more familiar with the idea of an ambassador. Someone who is being sent. Isaiah 9 and 6, again speaking, the prophet is speaking of this Messiah, or this Christ who is going to eventually come, this anointed one of God. And that he was going to be, for to us a child is born to us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So Isaiah, this prophet in the Old Testament, speaks these words during some hard times in the life of the nation. Isaiah was trying to speak some hope into their lives. The nation, things were not going well in the nation. It was a dark time. Many in the nation was rebelling against God, and there was some consequences that was coming upon them as well as other nations around them. And Isaiah, if you go back and read his book, there are some hard words about some things that God was going to do. But in the midst of that, Isaiah wanted to give them some hope that at some point in the future, someday, there was going to be a coming Christ, an anointed one who was going to bring about peace, eternal peace. The coming one, the Christ would come one day and bring hope. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to hear some words of hope. Again, keep in mind of the miraculous birth of this baby boy. In what way is God limited? With men, things are impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Our God is a God of hope. Jesus was one who was bringing hope. He was not only bringing hope, but he was also truly the Emmanuel. I love that. To me, that's my favorite name when I think of a name for Jesus. I love it. Emmanuel, God with us. Hebrews 1:1 and 2 says that long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, to whom also he created the world. In the beginning, we see God speaking, and things were so. He spoke creation into being. And then we see him audibly speaking with Adam and Eve. And eventually, after we're tossed out of the garden, he begins to speak through prophets and priests, giving them information indirectly in a sense. But here we see God amongst us, God wrapped up in flesh in this little baby boy, God with us. In the swaddling clothes in Bethlehem so long ago, God stepped into flesh and became one of us, lived amongst us. He truly became one of us. He's still with us today. As we choose to honor him with our lives, he lives on, and also in so many other ways. But as we choose to honor him with our lives, he lives on in each of us. As we proclaim to his name, as we call ourselves Christians or Christ followers, he is still living on, giving hope. You know, quite often the very hope that God is trying to bring about is something that you can do in the lives of those around you. But as we ponder the wonderful name of Jesus, we need to be careful not to miss the task that God the Father gave that little baby boy over 2,000 years ago. And that is, again, right in our text, the angel says that he is going to save his people from their sins. The name given Jesus at birth spelled out what he was going to do. God saves, and we are told that he is going to save us from our sins. Not only about our consequences on a day-to-day basis as we choose to honor Him with the way we live, but also the eternal consequences of our sin. He has come to bring hope. My question for you this morning is, have you chosen to put your faith and trust in that little baby boy and what He did for us some 30 years later as He allowed Himself to die on a cross for you and I? Jesus has many wonderful names. Jesus is a special name. I hope and pray here this morning that you too sense and understand the value of His name, and that you are willing to speak His name amongst those people you live with. You know, I was just speaking to somebody recently how we are naturally comfortable with saying God. Anybody, I'd say with any serpent, almost it seems like it's a comfortable thing to say God. But honestly, think in your own life for just a moment. How often do you actually speak the name of Jesus? There's a lot in that, just simply saying the name of Jesus. There is something about that name. I asked if we can sing a different song than what was on our... as we prepare to sing, we're going to sing page 71 out of our hymnal. We're going to sing, "There Is Something About That Name." But as we prepare to sing, I would encourage you to ponder in your own heart. Have you made that decision? Have you truly, as Joseph said, just chose to say and do that one thing that I know I need to do? And here this morning, I want to tell you, it's just simply trusting in Jesus. It's not figuring it all out. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things Joseph didn't have to figure out. Can you truly imagine, just for a moment, what all was going through his mind about how he's going to deal with this boy? How in the world can I do this thing that you're asking me to do? It's not about figuring all out. It's about simply trusting what God's Word says. Have you trusted Him? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? As we sing, page 71, let's all stand. There is something about that name.